Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It is now the 8:30 hour. Time for words of wisdom, plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams. And as always, it's an honor and a privilege to stand before the people of God as we explore the words of God together. Tonight is an exciting night. God has allowed us to come together one more time. And for that, I say thank you. Our lesson tonight is coming out of the book of Luke. We're going to be in the first chapter, and we're going to expound on chapter 1, verses 26 through 28. At this time, I'm going to play the song, and we'll come back and explore the Word of God together.
Thank you.
I pray that the audio for the song came across clearly. You know, it's a beautiful song. Mary, did you know? I suggest that everyone listen to the lyrics in that song. It will be a blessing unto you. Well, as I said earlier, our lesson is coming out of the book of Luke, first chapter, 26 through the 38th verse. And at this time, we need to go to the throne of grace. I'm asking one of the prayer warriors, please press the one button on your phone, and I can open a mic, and you can bring us to the throne of grace. Minister Mackey?
Yes.
Okay. And Sister Pam has pressed too. So Sister Mackey, would you lead us in prayer at this time?
Okay. I could either do now or close out either one.
All right. I'm going to let Sister Pam go and I'll let you close out. Thank you
okay.
so much.
All righty.
Sister Pam, your mic is open.
Lord, we thank you tonight for life and for giving us the opportunity to be present again for another Wednesday night Bible study. Lord, and allowing us coming together in unity to hear your word from our dear sister and minister, Diane. Lord, we ask that you bless and anoint Sister Diane. Lord, we thank you for that, Sister Minister Diane on tonight. We pray that, Lord Jesus, you continue to crown her head with the wisdom and with the knowledge from above. Lord, we are so grateful for all that you've done for us and all that you're still to do. Please continue blessing her radio station, and please bless all the listeners near and far. And, Lord, I ask that you continue allowing this radio station to grow and our Bible study to grow and go forward in your word and in your name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and thank God.
Thank you so much, Sister Pam, for that beautiful prayer. And I'm sure God is pleased with your service.
Thank you.
At this time, we're going to go into the lesson. And we have several callers that have called in. Since I said the title and the verses, we're going to be coming out of Luke, the first chapter, the 26th through the 38th verse. And as always, we have background. And I want you to know that the background for tonight is about Mary. The Virgin Mary, Mother of Jesus Christ. You know, it's hard to think about Jesus at Christmas time without thinking about his earthly mother, Mary. The Bible doesn't say much about Mary, but many religions have come up with theology that is not revealed in the Bible. We do not know a lot about Mary, but what we do know is that Mary was a virgin. She was young. Of course, she was a female. and that she came from Nazareth. And you know what they say about Nazareth, you know, they had the disciple Philip that was going through the town, and he met a man named Nathanael. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? And Philip told him, come and see. So they didn't think much of people living in Nazareth. And again, I say she was a female. She was young. You see, these characteristics of people of her day would make her seem unusable by God for any major task. But God chose Mary for one of the most important acts of obedience he ever demanded from anyone. Mary was the only person at Jesus' birth. She saw him take his last breath. And the only one at his death when he took his last breath on earth. You see, Mary comforted Jesus as he entered the world and also as he left to return to his Father. She devoted herself to being there for her son through birth, his ministry, death, and even beyond. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was described by God as highly favored. If you read the chapter I asked you to read, you see that in Luke 1 and 28. You see, the phrase highly favored means much grace. Many receive God's grace, just like Mary received God's grace. You see, Mary needed grace from God and a favor, just like the rest of us do, because Mary understood the fact, because she declared in Luke 1 and 47, my soul rejoiced in God, my Savior. But you know, after saying that, some of the things that we know about Mary, I want you to know, as I said earlier, they have some religion, you know, that has come up with the theology and made it their doctrine. You see, the Roman Catholic Church has taken an official position of that of Jesus' mother, Mary, that she remained a virgin her entire life. But most of us does not accept that, because Mark 6 and 3 lets us know that she had other children. Because when someone was questioning about Jesus' authority, they said, he's just a carpenter's son of Mary, and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon, and his sisters living right there among them. So, you know, they say she was a virgin, but she had other children for her husband, Joseph. You see, so that idea of perpetual virginity of Mary cannot be drawn from Scripture. It must be forced on Scripture in contradiction of what the Scripture says. And you see, many people mistakenly believe that Immaculate Conception refers to the conception of Jesus Christ virgin birth. I know for myself, growing up, when they always said Immaculate Conception, I just thought it was in reference to Jesus being born by a virgin. But the Immaculate Conception is a doctrine in the Roman Catholic Church in regards to Mary, not Jesus. Essentially, if you look at the Immaculate Conception, it is a belief that Mary at her birth was given a singular grace and privilege of Almighty God to be protected from the original sin. That Mary did not have a sin nature and was in fact sinless from the first instant of her conception. Not talking about Jesus. They believe that this is the only way God could have used her. See, we have to do as 2 Timothy 2 and 15 say, we have to study and show ourselves approved. We can't just take things that are said and even repeat them. Know the facts. They talking about Mary was sinless. She never sinned. She was pure. And that would be the only way she would be used to be impregnated by the Holy Spirit with our Lord and Savior Master. But Romans 3 and 23 lets us know, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You see, Jesus was born with two natures, human from Mary and divine from his Father, God. Then there's another saying in the Catholic Church, not saying, but really they took it as doctrine and theology. They view Mary as a co-redemptrix or a mediatrix, metrodiatrix, who plays a key role in salvation. You see, when they put the trick on the end of a word, the T-R-I-X, that's what makes the world feminine. So a redemptrix is a female redeemer, and a metatrix is a female mediator. So they really believe that Mary is right up there with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. You see, within the Catholic Church, there is a drive in which Catholics, as a matter of faith, would be obligated to accept these three doctrines. One, Mary participated in redemption with Christ. That Mary almost have an equal place in the redemption of the lost with Christ. Number two, grace is granted by Jesus Christ only through the intercessions of Mary. And number three, all prayers from the faithful must flow through Mary, which brings in something different. You know, we believe in the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and if we put Mary right in there, it would be a quartet. And the Bible teaches in 1 Timothy 2, 5, for there is one God and there is one mediator between God and man, and that is Christ Jesus. You know, I'm not trying to, you know, take away from Mary because she's highly favored. She's highly favored. And God chose her for that specific purpose. I thank God for using Mary as a part of his master plan, because God makes no mistakes. Mary is highly favored, and she should be, but the Bible no way indicates that Mary can hear our prayers or that she can mediate for us with God. You see, 1 Timothy 2 and 5 says, just like I said before, there's one God, one mediator. And you see, I believe if Mary could, she she would say the same thing that the animal, as the angels said, worship God. You see, Mary herself set the example for us, directing her worship, admiration, and praise to God alone. Because in that same chapter, in the 46th through the 49th verse, Mary herself states, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now, all generations shall call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name." In the last words in the Bible, the last words of Mary come out of the book John 2 and 5, when they was at the wedding in Canaan, and the servants asked the mother, what should they do? And Mary stated, "Whatsoever he said unto you, do it." And that is also what Mary is speaking to us today. Whatever God is telling us to do, do it. That's some background on Mary and some of the misconceptions that we have. And if you don't study for yourself, you won't get it and you won't realize it. And just getting away from Mary, but one more thing about the birth of Jesus in the manger. You know, all our lives, I ain't going to say y'all's, I'll say mine, all of my life, you know, when I ever saw a nativity scene, it had the Mary, Joseph, the shepherds, and the wise men. But it is not a fact that the wise, it is a fact that the wise men was not present at Jesus' birth. The wise men saw the star, and it took at least more than 2 years to make the distance to get to where the star landed. When they saw the star, Jesus was being born, or was born. So 2 years after that, for them traveling, there's no way human possibly they could have been in the stable. And if you look in the Bible, in Matthew's the second chapter, they say, "And when the star had rejoiced and with exceedingly great joy," when they saw the star, "and when they come unto the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down on their knees and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented him with gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh." The wise men was not in the stable at Jesus' birth. And you could see it for yourself in Matthew's second chapter, verses 10. Through 11. You know, I just wanted to interject that because it's so easy to be misled if you don't study for yourself. So we're going to look at the scriptures tonight, and let me tell you this, because I gave y'all those names and stuff. It was amazing to me when I did my research that a co-redemptrix wasn't even a word until the Roman Catholics made that a part of their doctrine to say that Mary was a co-redeemer. And the other one, the Atrix became a word when they put that in the doctrines say that Mary was a mediator. We are taught throughout the Bible that Jesus is the only way. There's no one equal to him. There's no one equal with him. There's no one. And we have to let everything point to Jesus, because all honor and glory is due him and to him alone. So if we look at our scripture, Luke, the first chapter, the 26th verse, I'm going to read the 26th through the 29th. And it said, in the sixth month, the angel of Gabriel was sent from God into the city of Galilee named Nazareth. 27, to a virgin expound to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin name was Mary. 28, and the angel came into her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. So sometimes, you know, you always hear the Catholics read the Rosary, Hail Mary, Mother of God, blessed are thee, and blessed are the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. And you know, when they start off, they say, Hail Mary, Mother of God. And we can say, oh, yeah, Jesus and God is the same. So if she's Jesus' mother, she's God's mother. It's not so. You don't read in the Bible nowhere that God had a mother or a father. God always was before anything. But we have to just study for ourselves. And then 29 saying, when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast her mind, what manner of salutation this should be. You see, when we look at that scripture, they say in the sixth month, when you see a scripture saying in a specific time, there's a reason for that. So when we look at this scripture and we see that it was in a sixth month, in, you know, this verse, God was showing us something how to study. This was a fact that was referring to the fact that Elizabeth's married cousin, who was barren for a long time, was now pregnant with John the Baptist, the forerunner. You know, Elizabeth was up in age. She had been barren, and now she's 6 months pregnant with John the Baptist. You know, John the Baptist is the forerunner of Jesus. So John the Baptist is Jesus' cousin. And John the Baptist would be 6 months older than Jesus. You see, God was showing Mary something miraculous. So maybe she could, you know, wrap her head around how could this be, understanding the position she was in and realizing that there's nothing impossible for God to do. You see, Mary was a virgin and expound really meaning engaged to Joseph. But they, back in those days, it was a binding contract. It was so binding, if you call it off, you usually had to give a divorce. You see, Joseph was from the house of David. So when the scripture is saying Joseph in the house of David, what do it make you think about? You see, Joseph had the heritage bloodline necessary for Jesus' birth. Because in the scripture, John 7:42 says, does not the scripture say that the Messiah will come from David's descendants and from Bethlehem, the town where David lived? And you might often wonder, why did God choose Joseph? He chose him for a lot of things. because he knew Joseph was humble. He knew Joseph would be reasonable. He knew that he could trust Joseph with raising his only begotten sons. But one of the reasons God used Joseph for his bloodline, and one of the reasons that he used Mary, because she was a virgin, and he needed the flesh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, why Joseph and Mary, you might ask the question. Well, all I could tell you tonight is God does what he wants, when he wants, for who he wants, because he's sovereign. We have to keep that in mind. He is God. And believe me, his choice with Mary and Joseph was no mistake. What God has for you is for you, each and every one of us. And if we look at the scriptures from 30 to 35, it reads, "And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David." So when you read in the Bible many times and you see that they called Jesus the Son of David, this is why. Right here they say, "and his father David." That's why many times if you see the Son of David is in reference to the promise God made for David's kingship to last forever, because Jesus is going to be the king in eternity. And then when you see the Son of Man, that means that Jesus took on the flesh. And when you see the Son of God, that's God's Son, God's incarnation, God's only Son. So plenty of times you will see God, Jesus referred as the Son of David, the Son of Man, and the Son of God. And 33 say, "And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end." Then said Mary to the angel, see, they're having conversation here. "How shall it be, seeing I know not a man?" And the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also the holy thing shall be born of thee, shall be called the Son of God." That's where the Son of God comes from, because of his humanistic side. The Son of God, because of his dignity. We have to remember that. You see, when we look at these verses, the angel is talking, and Mary is wondering. You see, God's favor, the angel kept telling us, you know, you're highly favored, God has found favor in you. But God's favor does not automatically bring instant success or fame. You see, his blessing on Mary, the honor of her being the mother of the Messiah, would lead to much pain. You see, her peers would ridicule her. Can you imagine telling people you're pregnant, but not by Joseph? Her fiance would come close to leaving her, because he even talked about giving her a divorce. You got to know. Well, you ain't got to know because it doesn't say it. But, you know, back then, everybody, well, I ain't going to say that. What I'm saying is Mary knew the Old Testament scriptures concerning the Messiah suffering rejection, being lied on, crucified on the cross, and being buried in a borrowed tomb. Because they studied the Old Testament. The New Testament had not probably even been written. So when they would go to the temple, you know, and they would hear the readings and the studying, you know, which the prophets would say, they knew what they was expecting. And I'm sure when they say that the Messiah will be born by a virgin, many virgins in that day hoped that it would be them. And I want to let you know tonight, Mary wasn't the only virgin. But you see, God chooses who he wants to do what he wants when he wants them to do it. And you got to let God have his way. And that's how God is operating in your life as well. You see, she knew the Old Testament. So even with her accepting and realizing that maybe she was the chosen one, she had to ponder on the things that would happen to the chosen one. And then she even had to say, I never had sex. I know not man. She also knew that her son would be the world's hope. Because when he said what to name him, and he told her to name him Jesus. And in those days, they knew what the meanings of name was. And they say, Lord, that saves. The Lord saves. She knew that. So she knew it was the world's only hope. You see, so her submission was a part of God's plan for salvation. And that's why Mary is always considered highly favored with God throughout the countless generations. You see, God promised David that David's kingdom would last forever. And tonight, we see that promise was fulfilled with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, a lady asked me yesterday, you know, what was Joseph's part in all of this? And I said that Joseph was Jesus' earthly father. And the lady said, you can't show. The Bible doesn't say that. But I want to tell y'all something tonight. We have to use the scripture, and we can't put in and take out. But God wants us to use our common sense when we have enough evidence about God. You know, God was a God that wanted children to be taken care of, because he says, suffer the little ones. So God knew that he was Jesus' heavenly father, and yet Joseph would be his earthly father. But the particular lady that was talking to me about that just yesterday, she said, no, Joseph is only Mary's husband. So I asked her, you know, Mary didn't work. And Joseph worked, so who fed Jesus? Come on, y'all. Who paid the rent to give him shelter? Who took him to the temple and exposed him to the things of God? Come on, y'all. Joseph. So because she don't see in the Bible that Joseph is Jesus' earthly father, then it cannot be so. But where's the reasoning? You know, I often realize why God inspired certain men to write certain books in the Bible. And we're in the book of Luke tonight. And you see, Luke was a medical doctor, and he knew how babies are born. And it could have been hard even for him to believe the virgin birth. Yet, he reported it as a fact. You see, Luke was a researcher who based his gospel on eyewitness accounts. You know, Luke wasn't a follower of Jesus in the beginning. You see, tradition holds that he talked with Mary about the events he recorded concerning the birth of Jesus. So this is Mary's story, not a fictional invention. We all should believe that God can create a child in a virgin's womb. With God, nothing is possible. If we look at it, you know, he created a black cow that eat green grass and produce white milk. You know, he made the stars and placed them in the sky, and they never fell. He put the water in the seas and the oceans and gave them boundaries that they respect even now. Hallelujah, what a mighty God we serve. And I could get a little personal, because for me, I know that he took a sinner like me, took my soul, and saved it. He took me out of darkness and brought me to the light. He cleaned me up, turned me around, and then he placed my feet on solid ground. Yes, I was lost in sin, and Jesus took me in. And that's why I love him so, because he's so real to me. Have Jesus become real to you in your life? Is he just your Savior? Have you ever made him your Lord and your Master and the King of your life? You see, and after saying all of this about how Jesus came, I'm going to take a little while and look at why Jesus had to come. You see, in the beginning of Genesis, the first and second chapter, we see that God had a master plan before the foundation of the world for his creation and humanity. And believe me, it was all good. Everything was created perfectly and in order and had a divine purpose. You see, it couldn't get no better than that. You see, he placed Adam and Eve in the garden where everything that they needed was provided. And evidently, yet, it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. God is constantly doing things for us, in us, and through us. And yet, we sometimes put him on a back burner. We don't use our talents, our resources, or our gifts for him. But God is not mocked. Because whatever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. Whatever you feed, that's what's going to grow. And only what you do for Christ is going to last. You see, God commanded them not to eat from the tree of knowledge, good and evil. But he told them, if you do, you're going to have to accept the consequences. And the consequences for that sin would be death. So here comes the serpent. He lies to the woman. He get her to eat. And when Adam saw that she didn't die instantly, physically, he said maybe the serpent got something there. He didn't find it back what God told him. He accepted the lie. So he ate, not realizing that the immediate debt was spiritual, and one day it will be physical. You see, sin entered the world and separated us from God. It was God's desire to have fellowship and a loving relationship with mankind. So what he did, sin came in. He couldn't overlook sin. The consequences for sin were still in the earth realm. So what God did, he did several things. And he put them in place so that he could tolerate man. Hallelujah. He couldn't accept him until the sin was removed. So he put these things in place to tolerate man. Some of the things he did, he gave the Ten Commandments. He gave the 613 Mosaic laws and the shedding of animal, and took the blood as a sacrifice, just the name of few. God, in his ultimate wisdom, knew that man couldn't do anything to become righteous enough to redeem himself by doing these things. Watch this. Even if he could have accomplished them all, it would not be enough to save themselves, to remove the penalty of sin, and to connect you back with God. None of those things. You see, God knew this would happen, and he had a plan for mankind. He knew before he created Adam and Eve that one day they would sin, and he would send a Savior. They sinned in the second chapter of Genesis, and by the third, God made a promise he was going to send a Messiah. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. God knew this would happen, and he had a plan for mankind. God decided to send his only begotten son. Why? Because, you see, God wanted the people, his children, to enter into rest and peace. Hallelujah. So, the sacrifices that they were doing, they had to constantly keep doing them over and over. So God needed an ultimate, a permanent sacrifice, one that can take care of everything once and for all. So since God wanted a sacrifice for mankind, he needed a man. That's why Jesus had to be born in the flesh to become human. Come on, y'all. So he needed a man to be able to save mankind. And that man had to be free from sin and without spots, and blemishes. You see, that's why the Virgin Mary was a virgin partway, because see, God's nature was on, Jesus took on God's nature, his dignity, and Jesus, who knew no sin, took on the sins of the world, took on our sins. So you see, Jesus was fitting the qualifications. Come on, y'all. And guess what? He was the only one that can fit and properly fit all of the qualifications needed and necessary to save mankind. And he would have to shed his blood for the remission of sins. You see, God allowed himself to be made flesh, incarnated in the Son of Jesus, the Son of God. And that's how Jesus has two distinct natures. He has a divine nature and a human nature. And Jesus himself said, believe me when I say that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Come on, y'all. So God had to send someone, and Jesus said, he and I send me. So Jesus came. He paid the debt penalty in full. And then Jesus let us know, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And then he even said, after he said that, after he was born, and then they took and they whipped him all night long, they crucified and hung him on a cross and buried him in a grave, and 3 days later he woke up with all power in his hand for you and for me. And Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And I don't know, the next verse after this, it says, so Jesus said, that's what I did. I came, I was crucified, I was buried, I rose. I'm sitting at the right hand of the Father interceding in your behalf. He's saying, I had to leave earth. And the scripture said, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye may be also. I want to tell y'all tonight, yes, Jesus came. Yes, he was born by a virgin. Yes, Joseph was his earthly father. Yes, he incarnated into God. Yes, he had two natures. Yes, he died for our sins. He paid the price. He redeemed us. He is our Lord and our Master. And so when we look at all of this, this is the glorious master plan of God that was fulfilled and necessary for us to receive salvation. Mary played a wonderful part. But forcing the scriptures to say something different, it's not true. But you got to study for yourself so that you'll know. And it's amazing, when I looked up that stuff from the Roman Catholic, I went back to the 18th century where the first priests who came up with that information, and how each priest down the line accepted it and wrote papers on it and agreeing to it. That's just like the Jews who haven't accepted Christ because they're waiting for the Messiah. The Jehovah's Witness who said he's the prophet. And the Muslims, the ones who look at Allah, and others who waiting for a Savior. I thank God that you and I realize that Jesus is the Savior. He's already come. And we must accept, believe, and confess that we are a sinner. And the Bible say we will be saved. That's our program for tonight. I'm sure someone would like to add to it, ask for prayer, give words of encouragement. We just have one more lesson in this year, guys. And I want to thank you, the ones that has been so faithful throughout the entire year, showing up week after week after week. And I encourage you guys to go look up those words One of the words is redemptrix. Let's see it. It's already, put it in your browser. They say that she's a co, C-O, and then it's R-E-D-E-M-P-T-R-I-X. And the other one is M-E-D-I-A-T-R-I-X. And if anybody didn't have paper or pencil and want to know, just call a prayer line and you could get the information. But I'm asking and encouraging you guys to go look it up, so just so that you'll know. Because sometimes we are not, may not even be Catholic, and we let our children go to Catholic church or participate in catechism, and this is what's being taught. And what made me really look at this, Dave, I've been a lot of sessions, I have been in the presence of people, and it may be a general meeting, and someone gets up to pray, and they was just saying, I pray to you, Mary, you know, I need you to go to Jesus before me with my prayer. And they were saying all of these, and it just was like, Holy Mary, you know, this and Mary that. They were really praying to Mary. But the Bible teaches we have to pray in the name of Jesus, and no one could get to the Father except through the Son. So if anyone have anything to say, you could press the one button on your phone. Caller, your number is 985-774. This is Sister Diane McBride, and your mic is open.
Hello, Sister Diane. How you doing? We are so blessed to have you. We thank God and Jesus Christ for you. We really do. I know your Holy Ghost blessed. But I just want to share a story that happened to me. There's this old lady that used to live down the street from me, and she reminded me of my grandmother. She sat on the front porch with long gray hair and smoked cigarettes, and she just reminded me of my grandmother. So she lived like five houses from me, and every time I passed, just because I know she was inbound in her house, I used to blow the horn and wave. And one day, my husband and I had a disagreement. He came over here with roses to my house. We don't live together, but he came over here with roses to my home in Chalmette. And I enjoyed, they were beautiful roses. They looked like flames, the most prettiest roses I ever seen. And, well, I was mad at him. So the next day, I put him in the garbage can for like 2 days. And they were so beautiful, I decided to take them out because he would not know if I was enjoying them because, you know, I'm human. And so I took them out and enjoying them. And I kept hearing a voice inside of me, bring them to that lady down the street. And I kept hearing it and hearing it. And then I said, oh, no, I can't do that. That's weird. You know, she doesn't know me. It's weird. I can't bring a dozen of roses to that lady down the street. It's just weird. And I kept hearing a strong voice from within me to do it. Eventually, I did it. And when I say eventually, these roses, they weren't dying. They were perky, you know. I brought them down there to And the following day, I saw a black wreath on the door. Well, I waited a few days, and then I went and talked to the young lady that lived there, which I found out was her granddaughter. I gave them to her that morning. She passed away in the middle of that night. It's just really odd. And I really think the Holy Ghost was talking to me to bring them to her, just so that she'd have some enjoyment. And I just wanted to share that with everybody.
Thank you so much, Sister McBride. Thank you for your lovely story.
Thank you, sister.
And the story and the moral of the story is God is telling us things to do. It's just if we become obedient. You know, that seemed like something simple and it seemed like something odd. But God may have just wanted, the lady could have been praying for this to get some flowers. See, y'all, we don't know what God, what people are praying to God for and how God can use us in them situations unless we be obedient to what he has to say. It don't have to make sense. The angel came to Mary. She knew she never had sex with a newer man. You don't have to make all of the sense out of it. Just do it. And that was an act of kindness, Sister McBride. God bless you for that. Anyone else would like to say anything? Anyone else would like to ask for prayer? Anybody want to comment on the lesson? If not, we're going to go ahead and close with Minister Elyria Mackey. Sister Mackey, your mic is open, and you can come to us any way you like.
Okay. I'm going to come with a scripture before I close out. So, with Joseph as Jesus' father. Matthew chapter 13. I'm going to read 54 and 55. 54 says, and when he was coming to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence has this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Verse 55 says, is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brethren, James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And 56 says, and his sisters? And are they not all with us? Whence then has this man all these things? It refers to the carpenter's son. Joseph was Jesus' earthly father. God, we thank you, and his word declares it. It's in the word. God, we thank you for sending your son Jesus to redeem us back to you, O God, because your word declares that we are his purchased possession, and for that we are grateful. You said in your word, O God, that we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. And for this holiday season, we just thankful that you sent your son Jesus to redeem us back to the Father. Because it is in Jesus Christ that we have been redeemed, O God. God, and we thank you because we are and we want to delight ourselves in you. Because you said in your word to see first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these other things will be added unto us. And you said, beloved, above all, you would that we would prosper and be in good health, even as our soul prospering. We thank you for our soul prospering, O God, in your word. We thank you for growth in your word, O God. We thank you because we recognize it's your word that cleanses us. It's your word that purifies us. It's the word of God that sanctifies us. And you said in your word that we ought to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed of the gospel, rightly dividing the word of truth. So for that, we are grateful, and we recognize that these outer vessels, they are perishing, but our inward man is renewed day by day, and we thank you for renewing the inner man. God, we pray for the whole household of faith this afternoon. We pray for all of those that are on our different prayer lists, oh God, that are on our Wednesday night prayer list. We lift them up to you, Lord God. We pray for those that have lost loved ones this week, that you would bind up broken hearts and give peace that passes all understanding. We thank you most of all for Minister Diane, O God, who's been coming diligently, breaking word, giving us your word, O God. And we asking that we would just continue to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God, you say that your word declares that we can lay aside every weight and the sin that just so easily beset us, that we can run with pace in the race that been set before us. And God, you said that our speech should always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that we may know how to answer every man, because we are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth, oh God. And God, we just thank you for this Wednesday night, for every believer that was able to get on, oh God. We thank you for those that wanted to get on and couldn't get on. God, we thank you because we realize that your grace is sufficient no matter what we go through, because many are the afflictions of the righteous, but your word declares you know how to deliver us out of them all. So we thank you for our light afflictions that we go through. It is in Jesus' name that I call it all done. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Minister Mackey, for those spirit-filled words in your prayer. I thank God for you as well.
You're welcome.
And to everyone, I have to say, Merry Christmas, because next Wednesday we're going to do the lesson on the 26th, which is the day after Christmas. And I just want to close out and let you guys know that no matter what no one says, Jesus is the real reason for this season. You go out and you be blessed and you share the goodness of Jesus Christ with someone. That's the best present you could give him. Share the good news about Jesus Christ with others. That's it for tonight. I'm asking God that he will continue to bless each and every one of us until we meet again. In Jesus' name, amen, and thank God.